older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's good.
9:45 a.m.
9:45 a.m. Number one. Ooh, it's, oh, it's taste of something at 9:45 a.m.
It's interesting having the flavour of that and the flavour of toothpaste in your mouth.
So, why on earth is Our Dad's Died opening with the opening of a can of lager? Why indeed? Or two cans, in fact. Or indeed the slurping and the regret that comes from combining toothpaste and lager never between shall meet. All shall be revealed shortly. I'd just like to apologise for the background noise in this one, particularly from me. I can't really help but make a lot of noises in my general life, and in particular there's this nose noise I make a lot, a sort of noise, which usually I edit out of episodes, but in this case it wasn't possible, both because of how we recorded it, and because I was so completely and utterly nervous and anxious when we recorded this episode. I was doing it an awful lot more than normal. It's basically stimming. And the reason it's complicated because of how we edited it is because this one is the first episode of Our Dad's Died which is recorded in person. That's right, myself and Rich are in the same room, sat across from one another at a table, recording this episode of the podcast. I would also like to apologise because I do sound like I'm on stimulants the entire way through with my extraordinary level of anxiousness leading to nervous energy that's really just greater than you've probably ever heard from me before. That would be a result of the old wedding day jitters. That's right. This episode was recorded on my wedding day. Every episode, apart from last week's Michelle that you've heard so far, was recorded prior to this podcast actually being released. We recorded them over the course of the pandemic, and then this particular episode was recorded in February of this year, February the 10th, on the day that I got married. Obviously before I got married, hence drinking at 9 a.m. and Rich, you'll be pleased to find out, does the best man's speech. And there's even a clip, I think, in the episode of that too. So enjoy the episode, and it'll be weird. Getting married today.
Today is Tom Gherkin's wedding day.
It's 9:53 a.m. We've got cans of Heineken.
Legends.
Bloody beer with the boys.
The beer of death.
And we've got all sorts of things. Yes. So that's the thing. So I had a few thoughts for what we could do.
Okay.
Obviously, the hook of this is very much I'm getting married and my dad is dead.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's that going to be like?
Yeah. I mean, that is sort of the hook of every episode of this.
Yeah. Well.
Something, but also my dad's dead.
Yeah. But this one is I'm getting married and my dad's dead. So obviously we can talk about the wedding, talk about ceremony, talk about what it's going to be like without my dad there,
mm-hmm.
and then at the end, in this bag on your right, this is a bag given to me by my stepmum. It contains some of my dad's things.
Oh.
And okay. I opened it when she gave it to me and had a look, so I roughly know what's in there. This was about a year ago, actually over a year ago. It smells of him. So I'm going to get a whiff of my dad on my wedding day.
That's nice.
Which is nice,
yeah,
in a way. And I thought what we could do is we could pick something from it.
Yeah.
To you know, have on the during the day.
To take with you during the ceremony. Oh, that's nice.
Nice, isn't it?
How emotional do you think that could become? The smell of your father, his...
Well, look, this bag has been sitting here for a year.
Yeah.
And it's reached a point where it's just like, I've no reason to ever open this and look at what's inside.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good reason to open it and look at what's inside.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that makes sense.
And just pick something. I don't think it'll be that emotional. I'm actually really zen about the whole thing.
Okay, we'll see how that lasts.
I've got really zen... In general.
What about...
Death in general, yeah. I'm really good about it now.
That you've Your own death? Or
yeah, my own mortality. I'm very... Well, okay. I don't really mind anymore. Mm. My mum was in the hospital earlier this week, and I was kind of like, well, if she dies, she dies.
Yeah, that was the vibe of the text messages you sent me. Very much. Look, if she goes, she goes. Mum's had a fall.
Well, you can't control it, can you?
No, that's true.
You know. So I think death in general's got a little bit easier for me, I think, okay. Actually, I would say. Have you found anything like that?
I've always been quite zen about death until fairly recently when I tried to imagine the feeling of nothing. You know, how when you die...
Very zen now.
Yeah.
You're going for full-blown enlightenment at this point.
But, like, I've always thought when you die... I'm not worried about dying because there's nothing.
Can you just walk me through the situation you were in where you were like, you know what, Jess, sorry, can I just have a minute? I'm trying to imagine the feeling of nothing.
Trying to imagine what nothing at all would feel like. I was reading a poem about death by mm-hmm. Philip Larkin.
Yeah, yeah.
Called Orbeid, I think. And it's about the fear of death, how the worry isn't the end, the worry is nothingness. Mm. And then I was thinking, yeah, it is. I can't get my head to comprehend that there won't be any of me left. Mm. Like, I won't be conscious of the fact that I'm dead. And so I was trying to imagine nothing, and then it sort of made my head go really weird. So I haven't been always quite...
Go?
My head went, yeah. And now I feel like I'm not worried about death, but I am confused by it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it properly.
Shit.
So, yeah. But otherwise, fine.
Good.
Quite looking forward to it, anyway.
So, I think at a wedding, typically, the father of the bride, I think, is very different to the father of the groom. Father of the bride, traditionally, father of the bride walks down the aisle, does a speech at the wedding. All this is happening in ours. You know, there's a set duties. Father of the groom...
Not that much to do.
Not that much to do.
He doesn't even have to pay for it, does he? Isn't it traditionally the father of the bride pays for it?
Well, traditionally he doesn't, but in this instance, of course, he very much has.
Yeah.
He's really shelled out for this one.
Yeah.
May not know much about it, but oh yeah, he funded the majority of this wedding.
Yeah.
And the father of the bride funded a bit as well.
But he's still alive.
So. He's still alive, so it's kind of less interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did. What I was getting to was that despite that tradition, it was one that my dad wasn't entirely aware of.
Right.
In that after my brother's wedding, several weeks, if not months after, he was wearing the same suit jacket he wore.
Right.
We were in his car, just picked me up, and we were about to go somewhere, and he tapped his pockets and he pulled out this sheet of paper folded up, and he goes, "Ah, oh, this is left over from your brother's wedding."
Right.
Okay. Well, what is it? And he goes, "It's the speech I wrote. That was a waste of time."
So he assumed he would be given a speech.
He just assumed. Nobody asked him. My brother, his wife, neither of them said, "Dad, do you want to do a speech?" He just assumed he was doing one.
Right.
And he wrote this speech. And just...
Did he read it to you?
No. He literally went, "That was a waste of time," and put it back in his pocket.
Oh, but imagine if that's gone. In this bag.
What, some really nice words about my brother?
Yeah. To be read out on your wedding
day. On my wedding day. Names unchanged.
What do you think, if your dad were to do this, if he were alive and he'd insisted on doing a speech at your wedding?
Yes.
What kind of tone, content and length do you think the speech would be?
So firstly, just to clarify, if he were still alive, I would have actually asked him to do a speech and then not called on him to read it.
Right, nice.
That would have happened every day of the week.
Just so he'd have been at the back going, "Again!
Yeah, again!
Me.
Fuck's sake! I've done it again!" But number two, I think it would be a few jokes that he'd Googled.
Right.
Just pops.
The classic.
Pops in there.
Yeah.
Man walks into a bar, he falls over, it was a drug bar. Not even really wedding related, just jokes.
Just jokes. Knock, knock.
Slip them in there.
Yeah.
Who's there? Sorry.
Your dad.
My dad who?
Your dad. Your dad's here.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! What a wedding gift! And also, insulting.
Yeah, imagine what a long con if I faked your father's death so we could do a podcast and then revealed on your wedding day that he was actually still alive.
He's still alive. Don't want to start your new life with a lie. Tonally funny, a few jokes, mostly. Actually, he had underneath the jokey outside, he had lots of emotions and would yeah. say very, very nice things when he was a little bit steaming. So
there would have been like a nice...
There would have been some lovely bits ending, in there, maybe. Yeah. I love you, diddler. Not diddler. I love you, diddler.
Yeah, his pet name for you.
I love you, diddler. His pet name for me was Thomasina.
Thomasina?
He used to call me all the time, Thomasina.
Nice.
All the time. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you have a pet name for him?
Big Fat Man.
Big Fat Man. Thomasina? Big Fat Man.
Dad probably was the old classic. Yeah, and I just think that kind of thing. I think he would have kept it short and to the point, definitely.
Right.
Definitely, definitely. No way it would have gone on. It was very much a kind of 4 minutes.
In and out.
In and out, see you later. Mine's a lager kind of thing. You know?
Right. How long's yours going to be?
Well, mine's... I'm sort of opening with this speech, which is about 4 or 5 minutes long, which is really just sort of a warning. Right. As much as anything, to tell people to behave.
Okay.
We'll do a bit, practice it a little bit now if you want, just a little bit.
Yeah, sure thing. I don't have a role in it, do I?
Well, you're going to. I'm going to say, do a little joke where I say, you know, bad behaviour will not be tolerated. As you all know, the rule for weddings is, if you annoy the bride, you'll be thrown in the Clyde.
Nice.
Annoy the bride, straight in the Clyde. And so then I'll sort of do a thing where I'll say, you know, don't laugh at the best man's speech, straight in the Clyde. Clap too loudly, straight in the Clyde. Clap too quietly, believe it or not, straight in the Clyde, Parks and Rec. And then I'll be like, you know, pour wine on the bride.
Straight in the Clyde. Is it straight in the Clyde or
commit suicide?
In the Clyde?
Straight in the Clyde, that one's bad. But but also not appropriate at a wedding.
No.
But not.
And also the two could happen simultaneously.
True, because of the old Clyde situation.
Yeah.
It's more like, yeah, annoy the bride and propose to the person by your side.
Straight in the Clyde.
Straight in the Clyde, exactly. So we'll do that a couple times.
Okay.
And then I'll sort of do a like that when I say the line, and then
everyone will say
Everyone will say straight in the Clyde. Yeah. I think they'll be...
If you've not cotton on by that point, you're not welcome at the wedding.
I think enough people will say it, and there's like 8 of them, so there'll be a bit of a, by the end, straight in the Clyde, and I'm like, wasn't that a funny thing we just did? But it was also a deathly warning.
Right.
You know, and then we'll move on.
Hello, Tom here, just to interrupt the podcast of me and Rich speaking, to tell you that we did record the wedding speeches. I did record this bit with how the audience reacted, and here is a clip of that for you now.
And that rule holds firm for any antisocial behaviour, guys. The rule of thumb, as we all know, annoy the bride, straighten the Clyde. Heckle the speeches, straighten the Clyde. Fail to laugh at the best man's jokes, straighten the Clyde. Clap too loudly, straighten the Clyde. Clap too quietly, believe it or not, straighten the Clyde, guys. Fail to sit in the seat we specified.
Straight in the
Clyde. Make a comment that snide.
Straight in the
Clyde. Mention anyone else who died.
Straight in the
Clyde. Propose to the person by your side.
Straight in the Clyde.
Spill your drink on the bride.
Straight in the Clyde.
Show up the bride.
Straight in the Clyde.
Fail to get a gift from the registry we specified.
Straight in the Clyde.
And yes, complain about the food we provide.
Straight in the Clyde.
How was that?
That was quite fun, wasn't it? Back to the podcast.
Okay, good.
So it's good. It's a little bit fun. And then we get into the father of the bride speech.
Right.
I say a few nice things about family members. We get into the maid of honour speech. Some nice things about friends. Then we get into the best man speech.
Right.
Richard Spalding. And then after that, I do some nice things about Amanda, and we all have a drink.
Nice.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it does sound good. It does sound good. And how heavily does John Gherkin feature in your speech?
He comes up a few times.
Yeah.
Well, I've kind of changed it on the fly, because my friend Dan Potts, who produced the original podcast...
Yeah, of course.
He's sadly not here.
Yeah.
His kid's in hospital, so, you know, obviously, fingers crossed, everything's going to be all right there.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, so he can't come. Sad, which is sad. He was one of the, you know, the bridal party, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I've got my sister's partner, Stephen Bridges, professional YouTuber.
Is he stepping in?
He's stepping in. We're actually going to see if he can step into his suit as well.
Yeah, I was trying to think.
It's worth a go.
Isn't there similar size?
They feel similar, don't they? So we're going to give that a go. Yeah.
So imagine the amount of things he can pull out of that top hat.
Oh, well, we could have rabbits at the wedding yet.
Yeah.
So no dad at the speeches, but I've given you permission to sort of get a couple of dad jokes in there if you'd like.
I actually haven't put any in.
You've gone free of dad free.
Just because I thought I've never much actually, like I never actually met your dad. Yeah, I am by definition dad free. And so I thought,
I think you did meet my dad. I think you would have met him incredibly briefly.
Yeah, I never sort of spent much time with him.
No, certainly.
So I didn't feel I could do justice to his character.
Our graduation. I do think you would have crossed paths.
Yeah, I think our
albeit
dad's met.
Briefly. I'm sure our dads met.
Yeah.
A couple of Johns.
Yeah, two Johns together.
We're just a couple of Johns, man, hanging out.
Imagine if they absolutely hated each other.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
But yeah, so I've kept the speech fairly dad-free.
Mm.
I mean, it's very Tom Gherkin focused, if I'm honest.
Good.
Because I realised whilst writing it, our relationship exists in a vacuum.
Mm.
There's not really anyone else involved in this.
No.
So all the anecdotes I have about you will only be funny to me and will not make sense to anybody else. And so I had to sort of ask other people, have you got any funny anecdotes about Tom?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them had similar things of like, well, I do, but like nobody else will find them funny.
Yeah.
And so it's been a real challenge, I'll be honest. And that might explain. You'll see when I do the speech that I've written it a certain way.
Nice.
That kind of means that it will be accessible to everyone.
That's good.
Rather than the way I wanted to do it, which was just to...
No one.
Yeah. You would have loved it. Everyone else would have been entirely baffled.
So this would have been 90% Danny Mills.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Danny Mills would have got mentioned. Yeah.
A lot of Danny Mills. Hitesh would have come on. Irish Eddie Izzard. Hoddle and Waddle would have been.
Oh my god! Are you there the duration tonight? You staying with it? Like you've got to.
We're just around the corner.
I'm telling you now, you've got to. No spoilers, but there is a reason to stay. Oh my god! And I need you there as well. Because otherwise it'll just be me.
Right.
So that'll be very very good. Yeah, brilliant. How long is it?
I think maybe 10 minutes.
Mm.
Not super long.
So I said 5 to 8 minutes.
Oh, did you
just thought I'll just go 10?
Did you say 5 to 8? I didn't realise I was on.
Ten's fine.
Just give me the light.
Ten's fine. But you know, if it goes into if people are laughing,
yeah,
and it starts going to 15 territory,
yeah,
you know, I'm gonna have to sort of like, but if no one laughs as you're anticipating,
yeah,
presumably you didn't pause for laughter when you practiced it, is what I'm saying. Because
it's sort of
difficult now, because if you say you did, that's quite...
Yeah, I kind of did, in a way. I paused to gauge her reaction,
and there was no
reaction, so then I just started the next sentence.
Right.
Hello, Tom here again, just interrupting the podcast for a second time to let you know that we did record Rich's best man speech, and the audience, I think, thought it went down quite well. But you can be the judge.
I mean, most of you will now know Tom as a man who writes headlines, vital, agenda-setting headlines, such as Kim Jong-un impersonator fails to impress cheerleaders. What's the remotest part of the world you've been to? And who can forget the many meanings of a pinched fingers emoji? But when I was searching for some of Tom's previous headlines, and I accidentally stumbled across quite a few headlines that Tom has actually featured in. So I thought I'd read some of these articles today. For instance, the first one I found was from the Bournemouth Echo on November the 23rd, 1989. Local doctors astonished by size of baby's head. Doctors in Port were confounded yesterday after a baby was born with a massive head. The baby's mother, Penny, recalled, "I was lying in the hospital bed enjoying my newborn baby, Thomas, when I commented on how easy the labour had been. The The midwife immediately laughed and said, it would have been a damn sight quicker if you didn't have such a whopping head.
All right, that's the last time I'm going to interrupt. Enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. Are you nervous?
No.
Do you think you'll be nervous?
I think actually when I'm at the thing, standing at the front, waiting for her to walk down, definitely. It's more that I just think I've forgotten something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when I get there and he's going to say, you know, pass the rings, and I'm like, oh, I haven't gotten.
Are you meant to have the rings?
No, one of the best men who's coming over this morning right. is going to get them.
Right.
But,
yeah, I know what you mean. So, there's always that. That voice in the back of your head that's like, you've must have forgotten something.
Yeah, that's the actual concern, is that I've just forgotten something important. Yeah. But I'm not nervous
yeah,
now.
That's good.
Maybe in that bit of a ceremony I'll feel a bit nervous then.
Yeah.
And maybe when I'm actually doing the speech I'll feel a bit nervous, but I think yeah. the jokes are solid. Audience participation, Straight in the Clyde, that's
yeah,
funny. People
that
like
that.
And they'll think it's funny, whilst also it is a deathly warning.
Yeah.
Targeting individuals.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, if anyone proposes to anyone,
yeah,
at this wedding, you have my permission to accost them,
right?
Not physically,
not physically
harm them, but steal the ring from them, and then film yourself getting into a taxi, going to the River Clyde, and throwing the ring into the river. And if someone did propose at our wedding, then this is where. The clip will be...
Right, yeah, of that happening.
Sorry, I just want to jump in here and just make really clear that, mercifully, nothing of the sort, nothing untoward actually happened on the wedding day. It was lovely. All right, back to the podcast.
What I will say is that while it's nice to know that I have your permission, I still don't think I legally have permission to steal a ring off someone and throw it into the... River Clyde.
I think no court in the land is going to think that that's unjust.
I think almost every court in the land would convict me of a crime.
Take the fine.
Yeah, no, I'll do it.
Take the fine.
I'm not saying
me,
I'm not going to do it.
Take the fine.
I'm just saying, if I do it, you may not see me for some time.
I'll pay. We'll crowdfund the fine. Is
right.
what we'll do.
Okay.
The listeners to this will agree with me right now. Anyone proposing at someone else's wedding? I mean, it's just. The worst thing you could possibly do, the level of selfishness.
One thing I was going to say is that, and I don't know if this is a good omen, it's probably not a good omen, but I don't know, it depends if we believe in omens. And we have talked about dreams quite a lot on this podcast.
Mm.
I had a dream about you last night.
Oh.
Where I'm afraid to say you didn't cover yourself in glory.
Oh no! What happened?
We were back at university. I think because I've been writing this speech, I've been thinking about university and stuff. And we were in like a courtyard area, and they were doing a raffle. And a girl mentioned that she'd previously won tickets to see Liverpool versus Real Madrid.
Oh.
And you were furious. That you hadn't been told about this raffle where Liverpool tickets were available.
Right.
And so you started shouting at this girl. And I was like, he's kicking off. I'm going to go inside for a bit and just leave him to it.
Yeah. Let me calm down.
And then weirdly, my mum came and got me and was like, Tom's really letting go out there. I think you should go out and talk to him. And I went out and you were screaming in tears at this crowd of people because you hadn't had the opportunity to win these Liverpool tickets. And I had to physically wrestle you to the ground. And you were shouting at me and I was going, Tom, you're embarrassing yourself. Please stop doing this. And you were like, you should be on my side. And I was going, I am on your side. That's why I'm trying to stop you. And it was quite intense.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I don't know what that means about the wedding.
I mean, I'm wearing a Liverpool shirt right now.
Yeah.
So that's awkward.
Do we... I mean, it's not a...
Do we call it off?
I think there's a shout, isn't there? It's just, Amanda walks down the aisle, it's me at the front, like, sorry, Tom couldn't handle it.
Obviously partly inspired by me winning a raffle when we were at university and winning that mini fridge.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So, well, you sort of did, but obviously it was in there somewhere.
Still in the subconscious,
because,
yeah.
Yeah, I did win a raffle at uni and won a mini fridge, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
That's quite good, isn't it?
Well, I remember being so excited about that.
Yeah, I said I was going to put it in the shared room, didn't I?
Yeah,
didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
Nah, I put it in the bedroom.
Yeah, fair. No one expected anything else.
Didn't think I'd actually win it.
Nobody did.
So that was good. Yeah, bloody hell. Good.
So yeah, I don't know what that means for today's ceremony, but... I mean, if you do kick off, do you want me to wrestle you to the ground? Or?
Yeah, I think it's important.
Yeah.
If I'm in a similar
state.
Yeah. I think it's important that I'm brought to a close.
Just quietly put you to sleep on.
Maybe even the Clyde.
Yeah, it might have to be. The rules have to apply to everyone.
Absolutely right. If you annoy the bride, straight in the Clyde. That's the fact. So
yeah, yeah. Fair.
We all have to abide by these rules.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And then we've got the... So we've had the ceremony, we've got the reception, and then, of course, we've got the... well, the reception, I suppose, is not just the meal. It's then the... It's then the aftermath of the meal. The party!
Yeah.
So that's going
to
be fun.
Yeah. And we're trying to make this sort of dad-focused.
Yeah.
Has there been any sort of sadness about, obviously, the fact that he's not here?
Yeah, totally, of course.
When does that hit? Tell us about it.
Lots of different times.
Great detail.
In the build-up to it. A few days ago, particularly, I was sitting on the sofa there, and I was really inconsolable.
Yeah.
I was really, really upset. I was just thinking, you know, it's just... The level of unfairness is extraordinary in this moment, you know.
Yeah.
I was just frustrated and lots of things, mostly just sad. But I think it's really, really weird. It's very similar to the initial grief at times, I think, because there's so many moments where you just think, I'm just completely fine. Right now, I'm just completely fine.
Mm.
You know, I'm just completely fine. We're even talking about it and I'm completely fine. But then there are moments where something happens to make you feel a bit overwhelmed about something. I accidentally sort of nudged a pin and it damaged one of the boards we'd been working on. And right. You can't even see it. I put a bit of paint over it and it's fine. But nonetheless, because of the moments in time, I felt very overwhelmed about that. And the dad thing kind of just almost knocked on the door and went, ah, now I've got you, bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suddenly just felt incredible grief and sadness and... You know, just this idea that he wasn't there was the real reason I was upset and all this.
Mm. It's always there, isn't it?
It is always there. And it'll,
in the background.
It'll get you when it can.
Yeah.
But actually, that was really interesting because I was in the kitchen doing some cleaning then, because I kind of got up and I started doing something. And I went into the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. I'm not even going to tell this story. I looked in the mirror in the bathroom, looked to myself. I swear, I said out loud, I went... You are in control of this. You are in a moment right now where you can choose to spend your evening miserable and then go to sleep and you'll be fine in the morning, or you can eat some food that's got sugar and caffeine in it, watch some shows that will change your mood, and be happier. You can do either of these two things. And then I got frustrated and slapped myself in the face. True story.
Nice.
And that made my ear properly ring, and I got really worried suddenly that I'd given myself really bad tinnitus.
Oh, wow.
So
you really hit yourself, then?
I'd give
myself
a proper slap around the face.
Wow.
I just thought they'd do it on telly, so I just thought I'd give it a go. And I actually did. I mean, I wouldn't recommend it, but at the same time, it did shake me up a bit and go, you know, because my ear was ringing suddenly, give me something else to focus on. And then I ordered some food, and then it arrived, and I ate it, and we sat there, and we watched Lucifer, which is a kind of funny show.
Yeah.
And after a couple of hours, I was just like, actually, I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know? Once the food hit and the telly hit and all that stuff, and the ears ringing went down.
Yeah. Once you could hear again.
You don't have to slap yourself very hard in the face to make your ear really ring, is what I will say.
Well, if you catch yourself on the ear...
Catch yourself... Well, it's more the old bone there.
The cheekbone?
Really, that bit there.
Really?
Right there, that's the bit.
Interesting.
I'm telling you, really hard... Well, I'd say it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that hard, although I was in a bit of a state.
Yeah.
But then I was okay. And
it's interesting that you can, I guess it's not always something you can do, but being able to acknowledge in the moment, like, this will pass, and
I think so.
It takes quite a long time to get there, I think. And there are times, because I've also had those thoughts at times, and there are some times where you're just like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah,
you can't even
bring
yourself to get to the point of going and be rational about this.
Mm.
But yes, yeah, very mature.
I think often you've got this feeling where, like, it's almost like what you want to do, what's going to feel the best in the moment, even though it's actually going to feel the worst, weirdly, what's going to feel the best, like you feel like, is just really sulk. Like you feel like, I really want to sulk now.
Yeah.
I want to just lie face down on the floor and just sulk. Really just sulk. But it's kind of like you just kind of just look at yourself and go, just hang on a second. Like, even though you're currently feeling miserable, you do have a choice on how you spend your evening still.
Yeah.
And if you watch a show, you can still sulk whilst you're watching the show, but it might change your mood a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
As in Practical Jokers was the go-to for me the entire main way during the Grinch. You can't, these guys are... Sal! Sal!
It's quite hard to
get your dick out, Sal! Well, he never says that. He never says that. That never happens. Sal, impregnate her!
They have to cut that out of every single one.
It's just Joe is really mean to Sal all the time. You piece of shit, Sal! He does say that. They do say that kind of thing all the time. So I recommend watching a show, definitely. I actually do think, even, I don't know how much it'll help in the moment again, but that was the first time I was really down, yeah. And I actually took myself out of it.
Yeah, that's
and just
good.
Went, just stop. I probably don't need to slap myself in the face next time.
Yeah.
But just look at yourself in the mirror and just go, you are in control of this moment. Ultimately, you can either just be miserable for 6 hours or be miserable for 2 hours. Yeah. And it'll be a harder 2 hours, but then you've got 4 hours where you're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So. Yeah, if you just sort of feel the thing that you're sort of deep down that you're feeling, rather than anger or stress or frustration, if you just feel the sadness of it for a bit, it's horrible, but it probably does end faster.
100%. And if that happens during the day today, I'll just feel it for a bit.
Yeah.
And I'll just do that, and then I'll come back.
Just midway through my speech, I'll look around, you're watching Impractical Jokers on your phone.
Okay, so my face is flushed red on one side. Whack, slapping the heck out of myself. It's awful. That is ultimately the wedding day. Then we have music and we dance and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I think we're sort of wrapping this up, I think it's time to open the bag.
Yeah, the smelly bag.
Do you want to have a... I mean, do you want to open it? Do you want to see?
I feel like you should open
Shall I open it?
Yeah. Oh, God. You're wrong
almost,
with me today.
Almost worse. Oh.
Also, I don't know what your dad smells like. Imagine you open it, it smells of shit, and you're like, oh, Dad. And I have to break
Shall
it to you.
Smell?
I think your dad used to shit himself a lot.
Do you want to smell my dad after I've had the smell?
Yeah, you smell first.
That's nice. All right, here we go. Oh, that is weird.
Is it still there?
That's really weird. That's so weird. That's so weird. That's so weird. Oh, my God. That's crazy. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to mean anything really to you, but just pop it and just have a...
Oh, I had a real sniff there.
Yeah. That's what my dad smelled like.
Wow.
You want to have a go?
Can you describe the smell for the listeners?
It smells like my dad.
Mm.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot, guys. The smell's a lot because the smell triggers all the memories, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But
it's
I do want to see.
Evocative sense, isn't
I
it?
Do want to see what we've got. Oh, here we go. Very wedding appropriate.
Okay, we've
Pop
got
that
a...
straight on.
I guess we'd call it. It's a woolly hat. It's black with fluorescent. Yellow bits.
Can't really wear this during the old ceremony.
I don't think it's wedding appropriate.
It's came from Cardiff. We bought them together.
Well, the two of you bought those together.
My stepmum as well. I sort of think I'm probably not going to go for everything in this bag. We can do a really emotional episode where we probably go for it.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin your day.
No, exactly. I'm sort of looking for a couple of items and just see whether there's anything that I could sort of really obviously lean on. There's a couple more ties in here. Oh, there's a Liverpool football shirt.
Is this the one that... Oh, hello. Liverpool socks?
Unworn Liverpool socks.
Could you wear them today?
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Or have you got specific socks for the day?
No, I haven't. Oh, there's also a watch. Is that an unworn watch, do we think?
Give it a sniff.
I don't want to let the smell out, but... No, I think that's been worn. No, I don't think it's been worn. It's unclear whether this has been worn or not. Either way, I've got a pocket watch, so a watch would feel bizarre. I'm going to wear the Liverpool socks.
Yeah, nice.
I'm going to wear a pair of my dad's Liverpool socks during the day I've selected. That'd be good, won't it?
Yeah.
Notice how quickly I put the bag away.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, it's a lot, isn't it?
Funnily enough, I thought it would actually be fine, and then I started getting really emotional. I was like, oh no, this isn't the vibe.
Well, I mean, it's famously quite an emotional day anyway. People are quite emotional on their wedding day. And then on the morning of the wedding day...
I feel quite fine. I really do.
But at 9:30, to have had a pint of... pint of beer and then be confronted with the smell of your dead father on possibly one of the biggest days of your life.
Oh my God.
It's a lot of emotions.
It is a lot of emotions. I didn't really think it would smell as strongly of him as it does.
Yeah.
It's very... I mean, that's the tip. That's the tip. Let me tell you something. If your dad's sick, or even if your dad has died, and there's still a wardrobe with his stuff in it, just get that stuff, put it straight in a satchel bag, and there will be a smell that lingers.
Yeah. Was that his bag?
Yes.
Right.
So it was also his bag.
So it's maybe the bag that smells of him as much as the contents, because a lot of the contents seem to be unworn.
Yeah, well, there were worn contents in there as well. There was like a Liverpool shirt and a
I guess that hat as well. Hats smell of people.
He was a very sweaty fellow, so right. You are going to get that in there. It's weird, really, because I think one of the things that's strange is you don't think of people as having a smell.
Yeah.
Very much. And even if you were to smell your dad, not now, I imagine that would be quite a strong smell, but if you were to smell your dad whilst he's alive, you probably wouldn't really be thinking this person has a smell. Like, I'm not looking at you and giving you a whiff and going, oh, Richard's got a
aroma. Smells of Rich, yeah.
But I think once you die and then you've got that little thing, there is something there.
Well, it's often a scent, isn't it? It's like their aftershave or their perfume or something. But like the bodily smell of someone is something you wouldn't notice necessarily.
Exactly.
I can imagine the smell of my dad's head. Like I sort of vaguely remember what my dad's head used to smell like, because when we were kids, we'd watch football matches, and he always had quite bad like skin. He always had quite bad eczema and stuff, and so he'd get us to scratch his beard or scratch his head when we were kids.
Sorry, what?
So whenever we either if you were on his when we were really little, if you were on his shoulders, you had to tickle his head to make him move. That was the rule. So he'd stand completely still unless you tickled his head, and then he'd move.
Yes, but there was just this thing about him having really bad eczema.
Yeah. So he was often just itchy. He was a very itchy man.
I see.
He had like not
loud
like,
itchy man.
A very loud scratchy man. That's how my mum always described him.
Yeah, loud and scratchy.
So he really liked being sort of scratched. And so when we'd watch football, he would sit on the floor and I'd sit behind him. And if the team we were supporting were attacking, I'd scratch his head and that helped them attack. But when they were defending, I had to scratch his beard and that would help them defend.
That's good.
But so I remember having the smell of his skin on my fingers quite a lot. And so I could still sort of imagine that smell. And I imagine being confronted with a bag of his skin would be emotional in many ways, but the smell of it would be a lot now. Hideous. 8 years on to smell that smell again.
Hideous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite nice, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. It's a good feeling. I smelt my dad on my wedding day.
Yeah.
How good is that?
That is good.
That's lovely. I think that's probably... We can probably leave it there, I would have thought.
So the next time... Well, by the time anyone hears this, you'll be a married man.
Yes, I will be. An MM, married man, full-blown married. And in 2 days, I will currently be on a plane to Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
So how about that?
That's pretty exciting.
So that's pretty exciting as well. Married and going to Japan on a honeymoon to eat sushi.
It sounds like you've Googled Japan once. I'm going to Japan
mostly a surprise
to sing karaoke and do origami.
I mean, I am going to sing karaoke.
Well, of course,
absolutely right. That's a real thing. Yeah, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to karaoke, get drunk on sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have a good time.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Congratulations to me.
Do you want to say? If your dad were listening to this podcast on your wedding day,
yes,
what would you say to him?
You know, thanks for paying for it.
Yeah.
It is sad you're not here, but also fine. I think the thing is actually one last thing, one more thing, as a fellow in Jackie Chan Adventures used to say. When I did the best man speech at my brother's wedding, my dad laughed at every single one of my jokes.
Right.
So you see, he's a guy who... So it's a little bit like when I'm doing my speech, it's a shame that my biggest supporter won't be there laughing along.
Yeah.
So you might have to just really make sure that they land.
I've got to say, if he's a big laugher, there's every chance that I'll miss him even more than you do.
We shall find out. And there's more guests.
Goodbye. That's
a lovely podcast.
And that doorbell was the sign of other best men arriving. That is multiple best men at my wedding. I decided to have a group of best men rather than a group of groomsmen. So there were multiple best men there. There was a best woman. There was a whole best situation, including, of course, Rich. Everyone had a different duty. And one of those duties was to deliver the best man's speech, which even from that brief clip, I'm sure you'll agree, Rich absolutely nailed. And if he did make you laugh, what I would say is that you can currently see the man at Edinburgh. He's not here with me recording this because he's busy being a busy bee, doing his stand-up comedy. He's doing that at the Hootenannies. You can go on the Fringe website and put in Richard Spalding, Look Who Loves Me, and it'll come up. It's a 45-minute long show. It starts at 6:10, starting, on the 10th of August and finishing on the 19th. So Saturday the 19th is your last chance. What I'm saying is that the show is happening now when you're listening to this. So you've got a week, if you're listening to this the day it goes out, to get yourself to Edinburgh and go and see Rich live. I think last week we joked about how he was, really expecting £5 a head. I'm sure he'll be happy just to have anyone there just laughing, really. So if you are in Edinburgh or in the surrounding areas, do please go along to his show. It's so funny. You're just guaranteed to have a great time. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to the wedding special of Our Dad's Died. I'm now a happily married man. Things have gone very well since then. I had an incredible, incredible honeymoon in Japan, a place I've always wanted to visit since I was a very young teenager. Mentally young teenager, perhaps. I've always wanted to go, and I just had the most sensational time. So we've got some brilliant, brilliant episodes coming up for you soon. Some really funny guests that we've spoken to. I'm sure just going to make you laugh and laugh and laugh. It's just going to be great. So for one thing, we're asking people to do, please, if you've enjoyed this episode, if you've been enjoying this podcast, to tell a friend, say to a friend, there's this guy, his dad died, and his mate, his dad died too, and sort of inexplicably on his wedding day he smelt his dad's clothes. Maybe there's a better way to pitch it than that, I don't know. But the growth we've seen has been absolutely unbelievable. People telling people about it, and it's just been so good. You've all been so, so kind to us. The messages we've received have been beautiful. I mean, thank you so much for those. Do keep sending them in if there's anything about your dad, any nice story about him you want to share with us, any nice story about someone you knew who's since died, that you want to share with us, something about them or something funny that happened since then, something funny about grief that you've experienced. Do please share it with us. Just a special message out now to my mum. Stop sending me messages. Don't need any more of your grief stories. But to everyone else, please do send them in. And again, please do us the big favour of just telling people. I've been tagged in several Facebook messages where people have just, posted on Facebook about the show. And that's just such a lovely thing to do. Just a single social media post from you could put this podcast in front of somebody who might benefit from listening to it. And I know that sounds big-headed of me to say, but we've had such beautiful messages in from people who said they did find something nice in this, listening to people laugh about grief, see that actually even though getting married after your dad has died sounds like it might be quite an emotionally tough thing, there is a lot of humour to be found in it, and there's a lot of things you can do to make the day work so smoothly, although really want to reiterate, I do not recommend slapping yourself in the face. I don't know. I was very nervous that morning. I don't recommend it. I do recommend having a long talk with yourself in front of the mirror. That might help. But physical violence is never the answer. So thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Our Dad's Died. We'll be back next week as per usual. Probably just me on my own introducing and outroducing, bearing in mind that Rich will be in Edinburgh, which I will plug once again. If you are in Edinburgh, 6:10, finishes Saturday the 19th. He's such a funny guy. You'll just guarantee it a great time. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next week. Bye.